Bill, just curious, first impressions, what you see from the Lions.
Well, I mean, I'd say good, pretty good at everything. Their record reflects that. Defensively, you know, real experienced team, strong up front, a lot of experience in the secondary, you know, Mathis and Hedebow, Clever Quinn, guys like that. Pretty experienced on at linebacker too with, you know, Levy and Palmer. You know, got a Whitehead, you know, bunch of guys that have, you know, played in there. So hard to block up front, very disruptive. You know, a lot of good skill players on offense, quarterback, running backs, tight ends, receivers, can score, you know, from anywhere. Very explosive. And, you know, solid in the kicking game, good return game. You know, got the same guys that we talked about on defense that, can run. So they've been played in a lot of close games, made a lot of critical plays at critical times to win in all different areas. So they've been very good when they had to be, made the plays they have to make to win. They've won.
Afternoon, Coach. How are you?
Good, Bob.
Good. Coach, I kind of addressed it sort of a moment ago, but I noticed when watching the Arizona game with Dominic Sue, they did a lot of – they concentrated on, it seemed to me, doubling them. And I just was – wanted to ask, did so much attention given to him, does it set up plays for, you know, guys like Mathis or Levy? And it seemed to me they play very alertly defensively. And the other – real quick, they're – special teams play, it seems to me, really very good. That play by Ross was amazing. I know they called it back, but can you talk about those two factors?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, defensively, Sue's is a real disruptive guy, and, you know, he definitely creates some opportunities for, you know, for other guys in there. But that's a good defense. Ansah and Jones, you know, Mosley's
yeah.
done a good job for Farley.
Yeah.
You know, they've really, all those guys are, you know, hard to handle. Johnson, they roll them all through there, and they do a good job with their pressure defenses, bringing linebackers and secondary guys. They do enough to keep you off balance, and they do enough where you can't really. There's enough movement up front that you can't really count on everybody being quite where they are when the ball was snapped. Sometimes they are, but
yeah.
sometimes they're not. So,
yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
As much as you try to double anybody, say Sue, it's sometimes you can't because the guy who you would have doubling them has to block a blitzer and pass.
Yep.
So they create some single matchups like that, and yeah, you know, Ross done a good job for him on punts and kickoffs. You know, they're, again, another aggressive special teams unit that's, you know, run fakes and they have some other, you know, plays in the kicking game to keep you off balance that you can't go to sleep on. So, yeah, they're aggressive. They're not afraid to, you know, take calculated risks and make plays.
Thank you.
Bill, I apologize if you've asked this before. I just haven't found any evidence of such. I'm wondering if you could kind of talk about your evolution in thinking regarding your decisions now almost unilaterally to defer on the opening coin toss. And do you, you know, this is a trend going forward. It seems to be based on numbers, but I wondered specifically what your thinking was and how it had evolved to what you do now almost regularly. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've done it, but it just comes down to each week we make the decision prior to the game based on all the circumstances that go into the game, what, you know, what we want to do. And, you know, it's each one's individually based. It's what we think's best for that particular game, based on, you know, all the factors that go into the game. So each one's an independent decision. So that's how we do it.
Thanks, Stacey. Hey, Bill, you guys really maximized your red zone opportunities on Sunday, and I think you converted maybe 75% of your third down conversion. How much weight do you put in those two statistics, and what might be some of the things sort of at the top of the checklist that any team would have to do to have success in those two areas?
Well, yeah, I definitely put them up top along with turnovers. You talk turnovers, third down, and red area. Those are big situations in the National Football League. So they're critical. We spent a lot of time, you know, on all the situations, but particularly those. And you know, we try to do a good job in preparing our team for what, in general, to expect in those situations in the red area and third down, based on the yardage, the personnel, sometimes the formation, and then we obviously do it specifically for each team. If there's a particular, which there always are, but whatever the tendencies are, and the again, all the things that go into it, whether it's you know, their protections, their coverages, their coverage adjustments, and other, you know, subtler things that are part of all that. So. Yep, it's something that we try to devote a lot of time to, starting, you know, right from the beginning, you know, right at the start of, you know, like second, probably late in the second week of, in the off season, in the second week of OTAs, and we started in the red area in the first day of training camp, so it's a high priority.
Hey, Bill, I just am wondering, what you thought, just to go back to Sunday night really quickly, what you thought of the performance of Alan Branch. I know he's now played in a couple games for you guys, but I think got in there a little bit more against the Colts, and obviously you guys played so well against the run. Just wanted to know what you thought of his performance and chipping in that area.
You know, I think Alan's definitely making progress. You know, just in terms of, I mean, you know, missed most of the, well, he was in training camp, but then he missed, you know, a big part of the start of the season. So in terms of his, you know, conditioning and recognizing block reactions and schemes and so forth, you know, I think all those things have gotten better each day in the last, you know, few weeks that he's been here, 3 weeks, whatever it's been. So, you know, he's a smart guy. He obviously has a lot of experience, and you know, I don't think there's really anything that we're doing that he hasn't done before. It's just fitting it in with our communication and, you know, the guys he's playing with up front and so forth. So, but I thought he, you know, gave us some good plays in the game. And we had a little production from there, both in the pass rush and in the running game. You know, keep working on it going forward. You know, the last two games had their own kind of uniqueness to them, with what the Broncos did and what Indianapolis did. So, as we see different teams, different opponents, and our situation might change a little bit defensively. I don't know, but if it does, that might, you know, open up different opportunities for him or somebody else. I'm not sure, but it's like I said, these two kind of had their own, you know, their own elements to them.
And Bill, just as sort of a quick follow-up to that, kind of sticking with that same position, I believe Silver Salinga is eligible to begin practicing, but don't think he has yet, and so I'm just wondering if there's any update on him and if you might plan to start that 21-day clock on him sometime soon.
Well, when we do, Phil, you'll be the first to know. We'll whip it right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, make sure that we that there won't be any delays in our announcements when anything in his situation, his status changes.
Bill, two-parter with regards to blocking for receivers. One, Julian Edelman, considering all the ways he's developed as a pro player, how much progress has he made as a blocker specifically in his career? And secondly, how much of the attractiveness of free agents or draft picks, and speaking of free agents specifically, Danny and Brandon, is their ability to block downfield and be involved in the run game or blocking for other receivers after the catch?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, part of it. It's part of the job. A big part of the job is getting open and catching the ball at that position too. So, don't want to overstate it, but you know, I do think it's important, and those guys do a good job of it, and it helps our team win. So it is critical in the big picture, but at the same time, you know, they've got to be able to do their job as receivers first, and you know, get open and catch the ball. So. I couldn't put it ahead of those qualities, but it's still an important quality to have. And as I said, it helps our football team. And the better we run the ball, then the more it opens up the passing game. So I think, you know, everybody understands that, and they try to do their part in it to make it, you know, to make that successful.
And how about Julian and his blocking?
Yeah, I mean, Julian's a tough kid, and you know, we knew that right from the beginning. He's always been a very willing blocker. Technique and angles, and you know, really understanding where the running play is intended to go, based on what happens on the play. You know, can definitely affect the blocking, and certainly we get a lot of different looks from the defense. Relative to different run force combinations and alignments and so forth. So, you know, we have to all be on the same page on those to try to, you know, A, get a hat on a hat, but B, to get the most dangerous guy. That's a key part of the blocking for the receivers is, getting a guy, of course, is, that's part of it, but it's getting the most dangerous guy. And so, who in the overall blocking scheme is being accounted for sometimes, we have a back or a puller assigned to a secondary player. So even though when the receiver looks in there and sees, okay, well, here are the guys that are available, you know, which guy is it actually that belongs to him, and which guy is it that belongs to the running back or the fullback or the or pulling linemen. So that's, you know, something that it sounds a lot easier than what it really is. And I'd say that's probably, the biggest thing for Julian, just in terms of somebody who hasn't played the position, of, you know, learning all those. It's not just going in there and blocking the guy, you know, and setting up a one-on-one drill. It's getting the right guy when there's, you know, two or three of them there. And so I'd say that's probably been the hardest, you know, adjustment for him in terms of, you know, experience.
Bill, when it comes to punt returning, I'm curious how you coach returners when it comes to fielding punts inside the 10 versus letting them go, you know, sort of just what are the coaching points there?
It's extensive, you know, it depends on, it depends on a lot of things, really. It depends on the type of punt you're talking about. You know, there's some punts where, you know, the balls have a tendency to bounce forward, which, you know, definitely want to let those go more than catch them. There are other punts that, you know, have a backspin on them, the end over end kicks that are designed to not bounce into the end zone. So, you know, you can let those go all you want, but the chances of them bouncing into the end zone probably aren't, you know, real high if that's the type of kick. The hang time on the ball, where the coverage is, if the coverage has already gone behind you and, you know, you're standing there on the, you know, 8-9 yard line and you're just going to let it go, and you've already got, you know, a couple guys standing behind you on the goal line to down it, then, you know, that could be even just, you know, put your team in a worse situation instead of having the ball on the 8 or 9. Now you have it on the 2. So, you know, it's all those things. I mean, the most important thing at the end of the play on a punt return is that we have the ball. That is above and beyond all else. So it means not committing a penalty that would turn the ball over, like being offside or, you know, some roughing the kicker, or, you know, the type of play that would give them the ball back. That's number one. You know, ball security by the returner, making good judgment and handling the ball cleanly so that there's no question that we're going to end up with it at the end of the play. That would be number one and 1A. And then, you know, creating the best possible field position we can. And that's the returner's judgment on handling those balls relative to, again, type of kick, hang time, field conditions, scoring situation, you know. So it's, yeah, you have to factor all those in there. And, again, that's what those guys are getting paid for. And that's why they're back there doing it, and they're called, you know, specialists. That's one of their primary jobs, so. They have to factor all that in, and as the ball's coming down, they have a second or two to figure all those things out. Whether they're gonna, you know, try to draw the coverage and let it go in the end zone, whether they're gonna try to catch it, whether they're gonna fair catch it, whether they can handle that thing cleanly, or, you know, it could be a risky catch, and again, it's something we don't want. So. And then they have to execute it with guys standing around them and, you know, dealing with the wind or the lights or whatever the conditions are. So but they have to make those judgments, and that's the job. It's not easy.